again.
It is good to see all of you here this morning. We will continue in Mark today, Mark 14, 66 through 72. We're going to end chapter 14 today. We're getting closer and closer to the end of this book as we get closer and closer to celebrating Easter together. Has any of us ever gotten in trouble? Maybe as kids, or maybe as adults, ever do anything wrong? No? All angels like me, I guess. All right.
Take beer ask again.
Next question. What were the words that you did not want to hear when you did this thing you said you didn't do? Was it you were in trouble? Was it wait until your father gets home? Maybe it was wait until your mother gets here. Maybe as adults it was you're fired or I'm calling the police. Hopefully not. Maybe it was this. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Or you let me down. Or you are better than this. It seems like disappointing others hits us harder than just getting into trouble. We're going to see this in our text today as Peter lets his teacher down. Peter sees the moment when Jesus knows, and we will work toward it in three parts together this morning. A denial of knowledge, a denial of association, and a denial of Jesus. Mark 14, verse 66. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Verse 66. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather together as your people. And we ask now that our minds and our hearts are open and are willing to listen and to learn your word and apply it to our lives. Help us do this now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week we looked at the trial of Jesus by these religious leaders of Israel. We said they had no charges to offer, so instead they turned to lies and deceit to convict. Ultimately, it was their opinions and not the actual truth that rendered a guilty verdict. We said Jesus predicted all of this, and we said we would go through the same thing. Lies and deceit and opinions trying to overshadow the truth of Scripture. These kinds of persecutions will happen, and in some circumstances have already begun. It is important to note that these leaders convicting Jesus of a crime that they themselves commit is in fact a denial of Jesus by this entire group. This is important because we will move forward in our text this week, and we will look at the denial of one person, Peter. Let's begin with his denial of knowledge. A denial of knowledge. Where are we in our gospel? It is Friday morning and Jesus dies Friday afternoon. Last week we entered the area of the high priest. It would have been a building, much like a house or a bit fancier with a courtyard surrounding it. You would have to pass through gates and guard to get into this courtyard. This is where the Jewish trial of Jesus is taking place. In a similar setup nearby as well where they'll send Jesus to the Romans. It would be much like if we had an outer fence around this church and an outer fence around the parsonage. This is the proximity we're talking about. Very close in relation. Now, while the Jewish trial is going on, there's something else going on in this courtyard. The denial of Peter. We noticed last week in our text, Peter was following this group leading Jesus into the courtyard. John's account says John was allowed into the courtyard. Because he was known by the high priest. And he was the one that talked the servant watching the door into letting Peter in. This is how Peter gets into this scene, but it's what happens next that is important to us. What happens? The servant girl has told Peter he was with Jesus too. John tells us it was the same servant that let them in, which means this servant girl already has a pretty good idea as to what is going on. The response of Peter, I do not even know what you are talking about. Why would this matter? Why lie? They already know that John was with him, and this is why they were allowed in. So why did Peter say this? Because it is our default human setting. We understand this claim of ignorance, do we not? It is what many of us default to when we don't want to do something. If you claim you do not know how, then no one expects you to do it. Have any of us used this to get out of something? Why did you move this? Couldn't have been me. I didn't even know it was there. Why did you do this? Couldn't have been me. I don't even know how to use it. I remember managing at Chick-fil-A, and I was known as the Chick-fil-A dad because I was a bit older than the rest of the kids working there when we were in Louisville. And I'd ask one of these young employees to go do something, and sometimes their answer was, well, I don't know how. I knew 90% of the time it was false because they are trained in everything for a full week before they start working. So normally this would get them out of it, but I was the Chick-fil-A dad, so what do you think I did? Come with me. I'll show you how to do it, then you'll know next time. This way they know that I know they are not ignorant. When they are asked next time, lack of knowledge cannot be the reason. Many of us have used this to get out of tasks in our lives. Have we used ignorance to run from Jesus? Have we claimed lack of knowledge instead of standing up for Christianity? Probably so. There are two reasons for this reaction. You do not possess the knowledge, or you do not possess the confidence. We know Peter had the knowledge of what was going on, but it is hard for us to see Peter as lacking confidence, right? He jumped out of the boat. He stood up to Jesus. He sliced a man's ear off while surrounded by soldiers mere hours ago. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples who he was in our study? They'd already told him the crowd surrounding him thought he was John the Baptist, or they thought he was Elijah. But he says, who do you think I am? Matthew 16. Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This Peter lacks confidence? The one whose name literally means rock, and the one who proclaimed a message from God by which the church would be built. This man sits in fear with his confidence slipping away? Yes, in this moment, our beloved Peter has cracked. You see, his confidence was attached to this man he was following being able to do anything. Cast out demons, annihilate illnesses, forgive sins, command nature, raise people from the grave. Jesus is where his confidence was found. Now his Savior is being sentenced to death and being beaten and spat on, and he does nothing to stop it. Their world is shattered without him. We see them regain their confidence in the Bible, but it takes the sending of the Holy Spirit, which is the same source we tap into. The Spirit resides in all who believe, but not yet for Peter. Peter stands next to a fire to keep warm as people start pressing in around him to figure out who he is. Yes, Peter lacks confidence in this moment. None of us would have done any better. What is the answer to a lack of confidence or a lack of knowledge? The answer is always God. Lean into your Father with prayer. Lean into His holy word for guidance. This is where confidence is found. This is where knowledge is found. This is why gathering in this place is so important. Yes, we worship together and we fellowship together, but we also gain confidence together. We gain knowledge together. This is the only way to assure that we will stand together when needed. Jesus died for our sins and then sent us His Spirit so we could be the church the world needs. To be this church, we must stand together on this rock that is the gospel. Peter needed his Savior, and so do we, and so does the world. Do we have the confidence to stand firm when pressed? Do we stand with Jesus at all? How can we tell? If Jesus was removed from your life, would anything change? If all things Jesus were plucked out, would anything change? Next, we will see another part of this denial as Peter is pressured. A denial of association. So Peter has denied knowledge of what is going on, and now he's going to deny knowing the people involved. Knowing the disciples and the followers. Our text says a group is now gathering and being told that Peter is one of them. Them being a disciple. Them being the group following Jesus. We ask why he would even deny knowing what was going on, but we do not ask why he denies being associated with the disciples. It is because he has already lied. If he knows them, then he would know the situation. He has set a path, and now he is determined to stay on it. There's one main point to see here. This is that this live to fight another day attitude is the wrong mentality for a Christian. This is what we are seeing here with Peter. He has attempted to lie his way to survival of this day while his Savior heads to the cross. This survival mode is the default setting for humans. We all default to surviving when trouble arises. Some people's method of surviving is running and hiding, and using anything at their disposal, such as lies, along the way. Others have a default setting of fighting to the very end. This is survival for them. You can train to overcome default modes. But we should check Scripture to see what it says about Peter's situation here, because we have all stood where Peter stands. Matthew 10:32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. 1 John 2:23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So we can see here that the denial of who Jesus is would not go well for us. If we were to continue down this path of denial, then we do not have the Father. This means a non-believer. This means hell. Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me or my words, then I will be ashamed of you. Maybe we've been around someone who says, I am a Christian. I just do not believe everything the Bible says. Well, Jesus is the very Word of God, John 1. And the Bible is the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3. This means if you back away from the teachings in this book because you do not want to stand against culture or maybe even family or for some other reason, then you now stand ashamed of your Savior. And he is now ashamed of you. You have now denied associating with the very Christianity you claim. This action of Peter does not sit well with us, because we have all stood where Peter stands, believers of Jesus that for a moment lost sight of their Savior. For a moment denied the Son of God. For a moment was ashamed of his words. This does not speak to just a few in this place or online, but to every one of us. We have all done it. This, however, does not mean that you are not a believer. It does not mean your salvation is lost. We see this with Peter when Jesus comes back to him and tells him to feed his sheep, tells him to lead his people. What we need to know is the difference between belief and unbelief. We need to know because it is the difference between heaven and hell. The Bible says believers go to heaven and unbelievers go to hell. This difference is repentance. This is why all have sinned, but some sinners are saved. Jesus went to the cross so that these weak moments in your life do not write the story of your life. Have you turned from your sins and toward your Savior? This is the question, and it can only be done with true faith in Jesus. This can only be done with the Spirit of God inside of you. But once it is done, you are His forever. Everyone has stood where Peter stands. But only those with life-changing faith in the Son can move from shame to unashamed. Is this you? Is the question. And you must search your life for the answer. We have one more aspect of this denial to see. A denial of relationship. Peter has now moved from denying knowledge of what is going on. I don't even know what's going on. To denying being with the disciples. To now denying Jesus himself. We just looked at what this path of denial would cost you. Let's take a closer look at Peter here. First, why was he called out here as being one of them in this third denial? Our text says because he's a Galilean. And Matthew says he's betrayed by his accent. They can tell who he is by how he sounds. Does that sound familiar? You think anybody knows we're from Kentucky when we're not in Kentucky? That's for sure. Mark gives us this third denial, but Luke adds a detail that we must see. Luke 22, verse 60. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Both accounts tell us of how Peter realized what he had just done, and it broke him. He realized that the rooster crowed just as Jesus said, and he has fallen away. There are two things that Luke adds. The first is that when Peter broke down, he left this courtyard. He went out and wept bitterly. This is why when we move forward to the cross, we will see the mother of Jesus, and we will see John, but not Peter. Peter cannot bear to face him. Why? This is the second detail Luke gives us. And this is what we will look at here. Why could he not face him? Jesus and Peter locked eyes. Jesus is in this courtyard being questioned, and Peter is in this courtyard denying Jesus. At the exact moment that the third denial happens and the rooster crows, Peter's Savior looks him in the eyes. Peter has been our hero throughout this study in Mark. Why? Because he is just like every one of us, full of passion and commitment and stubbornness, loves the Lord and acts before he thinks. If we were a disciple of Jesus on these pages, we all think we would be Peter. This man who said nothing would take him from Jesus. This man who has witnessed miracles and has performed miracles. This man who has walked on water with the Son of God. This man who has proclaimed the message on which the church would be built, that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and Son of God. This man who mere hours ago lashed out at a group of armed soldiers with no regard for his own life. He is led by his emotions and has made many mistakes, but he loves his Savior. This is who we all claim to be. Where is Peter now in our text? The man who we all love and aspire to be has now done the one thing he said he would never do, and Jesus watched him do it. He locked eyes with his Savior as he failed him. The rock has been crushed. The rooster has crowed. Do we get the weight of this moment? Think back to a time in your life when you knew you had done something terrible. The moment when you locked eyes with a person and you knew they knew. The moment when your head drooped and your heart broke. What was it? You wrecked a car. You stole something. You wronged a family member. You wronged your spouse. Whatever it was, you know the feeling you had. Now, take this feeling and multiply it to the level of turning your back on Jesus, the Savior of the world, right as he is sentenced and convicted to death. You have spent every moment of every day with this person, and you were not there when he needed you. You said you would never leave him, and then he's crucified, while you were nowhere to be found. Crushed indeed. What does this mean for us? Peter has modeled everything for us in this gospel, including falling away. We must realize that all of us have heard the rooster crow in our life. All of us have been where Peter was when he could not bear to see Jesus. He could not bear for Jesus to see his face. I repeat, this has been all of us. It could have been long ago, or it could be something you're going through right now. What is it? What has crushed you? What has made the rooster crow for you? Do you have it? Listen to John. 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Listen to Paul. Colossians 2. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Now listen to Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Does this sound like someone being weighed down by his guilt? No. Jesus has set him free. And Jesus has set everyone free who believes. Do not pack around your guilt for one more moment. Confess it, repent of it, and then release it, because your Savior has already paid for it. Amen. The weight on your shoulders should not be your past mistake, but rather should be to get this message of forgiveness and salvation out to everyone around you. Like Peter, we have all fallen, and we all need Jesus. Can you see it? Do you believe it? Release your grip on that guilt and be held by the Son. What do we see today? The denial of Jesus by Peter. It was not someone outside. It was not some outside resistance, but rather it was a denial from his inner circle. This denial was all-inclusive, and it was representative of how every one of us had done the same. We said Jesus looked into his eyes as it was happening. And he has seen us every time we have come up short too. We have all heard the rooster crow, but it should not weigh on us. Why? Because true faith in Jesus means turning from these past mistakes and continuing your walk with your Savior. Today, as we close with singing and with prayer, maybe you have something in your life you need to give to Jesus. Do not hesitate. Maybe your guilt weighs you down and you just do not know how to get going again. Remember the words of Jesus to Peter on that shoreline as he welcomed him back into his arms. Do you love me? This is the question to ask yourself. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? If the answer is yes, then your sins are already nailed to the cross, and you have already been forgiven. If the answer is yes, then let go of the past and look forward to seeing what your future holds. If you are realizing this love for the first time in these moments, then do not hesitate to profess your faith in the Son. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you will move from sinner crushed to sinner forgiven today. What is on your heart? Your Savior knows it. Release it. Release it to Him as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we can have it in our lives as a guide to direct our paths. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We know that all of us who believe are guided from the inside by your presence. Father, help us lean into this presence and to let go of the things in our lives that are weighing us down. Father, we need to lean in with knowledge of you. We need to lean in with confidence in you so that we can reach out and be the church you call us to be. Help us to remember that you love us and we love you. Be with us now as we leave this place and help us to spread this gospel message to all. In Jesus' name I pray.